for your love, which endures forever. We thank you for the guarantee of your love, which is Jesus, your Son, given to us freely. And Father, as we enjoy and celebrate your grace, we pray that your Spirit would speak to us this morning, that you would draw close to each of us, encourage us, challenge us, and lead us forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so handing over to David to lead us.
Thanks, Brian. Good morning, everybody. Big wave, everybody. Hello. Now, I'm going to get my excuses in first. I've got a very croaky voice and I'm deaf in one ear. But apart from that, everything's lovely and funky-dory. So we're just going to sing some songs now and worship God.
Today, voices in unison. nation, giving you thanks and praise. Join by the instruments and make your glory. Your presence like a cloud upon that ancient day. The priests were overwhelmed because your glory. Sacrifice was made, and then your fire came, laid out upon the ground, and with one voice they praised. A sacrifice was made, and then your fire came, laid out upon the ground, and with one voice they praised. Father of kindness, you have poured out grace. You brought me out of darkness. You have filled me with peace. Pray, that's our prayer today. Father of kindness, you have poured out grace. You brought me out of darkness. You have filled me with peace. Giver of mercy, you're my help. Lord, I can't help but see. Faithful you are, faithful forever you be. Faithful you are, all your promises. Beautiful Savior, you have brought me here. Pulled me from the ashes, you have broken every curse. Blessed Redeemer, you have set his captive free. God, I can't help but see. Faithful you are, faithful. promises of yesterday.
Thank you, David. And for that reminder there that all God's promises are yes and amen. As a church across the world, today is the day when we celebrate the presentation of Jesus in the temple. That story from Luke chapter 2. And we're now going to have that performed for us in the inimitable style of the following cartoon.
One second, people. God's story, Anna and Simeon. So part of God's story is about Anna and Simeon, and it goes like this. For hundreds and hundreds of years, God had been promising his family, the Israelites, a rescuer and king. He told them that this rescuer would come as a baby and would be his very own son. People waited a long, long, long time for the Savior to come. Lots waited their whole lives. Well, when Jesus was finally born, there was a man living in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was especially excited for God's promised king because he loved God and followed him with his whole heart. He even got to talk to God through the Holy Spirit. Nowadays, anybody who follows Jesus gets to talk to the Holy Spirit anytime. But before Jesus was born, the Holy Spirit only talked to some people, and Simeon was one of them. Anyway, one of the things the Holy Spirit told Simeon was that the baby king would be born while Simeon was still alive. Since God had been promising the rescuer for hundreds of years, this was a big deal. Simeon would actually get to meet God's rescuer. Just didn't know when. On the night of Jesus' birth, angels appeared to shepherds and announced Jesus' arrival. They excitedly ran out, telling everyone they knew. But remember, there weren't phones or internet back then, so not everyone knew that Jesus had been born, including Simeon. A little while after Jesus' birth, the Holy Spirit told Simeon to go to the temple. He may not have known why, but he obeyed anyway. Good thing he did, because while Simeon was at the temple, Mary and Joseph brought their new baby Jesus to the temple too, to dedicate him to God. As soon as Simeon saw Mary and Joseph with Jesus, he knew who Jesus was. We don't know exactly how he knew, but he did. Simeon took Jesus in his arms and said, "Lord, you are the King over all. Now let me, your servant, go in peace. That is what you promised. With my own eyes, I have seen what you have done to save your people." See, Simeon was getting pretty old, and meeting Jesus was the one thing he wanted in his life. Now that the rescuer was here, he was ready to die in peace. There was someone else in the temple that day, a woman named Anna. For many years, she had stayed at the temple day and night, worshiping God through fasting and prayer and talking to God through the Holy Spirit, like Simeon. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly how long she'd been there, but by this time, she was 84 years old. She knew God well, and like Simeon, she had been waiting for the king God had promised. Sure enough, Anna came by just as Simeon was talking to Mary and Joseph. Immediately, she praised God. The king was finally here, just as God promised. When Simeon and Anna met Jesus, they were overcome with joy. The Bible tells us that faith is being sure of what we hope for. It is being sure of what we do not see. Simeon and Anna were sure that God had promised to send a rescuer. They were sure he was coming. And when they saw Jesus, they were sure the rescuer had arrived. all because they had faith that God keeps his promises. And that's the story of Anna and Simeon. So in case you missed it, here's the quick version. God promised a rescuer. People waited. Simeon waited a long time. He loved God. God said he'd meet Jesus. Simeon met Jesus. Meeting Jesus was all he had wanted. Anna loved God too. She was waiting for a rescuer. She met Jesus. Simeon and Anna had faith. God kept his promise. And that's a part of God's story.
Thank you, Mark. I confess I really like those stories. I really enjoy them. And so it's fortunate that we're now coming to our time of confession. So if we could have the slide up, please, Mark. Brilliant, thank you. We come to our time of confession confident because we know why Jesus came and we know what Jesus has done for us. So let's say these words together, knowing that God hears and that God forgives. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image. To the praise and glory of his name, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now Kate is going to bring us our other readings.
First reading is from Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 to 18. Since then, the children share in flesh and blood. He himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might deliver those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. For assuredly, he does not give help to angels, but he gives help to the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in all things, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For since he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered, he is also able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. And then Malachi. Behold, I am going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. And he will sit as a smelter and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, so that they may present to the Lord offerings in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old and as in the former years. Then I will draw near to you for judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against those who swear falsely and against those who oppress the wage earner in his wages, the widow and the orphan and those who turn aside, the alien, and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your father, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Kate. And thanks, Brian. It's great when you get a similar word coming through the worship and through other ways. And we've already heard twice this morning that God's steadfast love endures forever. It's a wonderful thing to hear, isn't it? Let's hold on to that throughout our morning, that it can frame what we do. We've had three readings, in a sense, including the cartoon. And first of all, we had the cartoon, which was from Luke, and it describes Jesus being presented at the temple, Jesus being set apart for God, in a sense. And then Hebrews described Jesus as the great high priest. And finally, we heard from Malachi this imagery of the refiner's fire and the fuller's soap. So I want to look at the idea, what does it mean to be set apart for God? Let's firstly look at the sort of Jewish understanding at the time of Jesus of the temple and the sacrifices. In Luke, we see that Jesus was being set apart right at the beginning of his life, essentially dedicated to God and declaring he was holy. And a sacrifice would have been required, a sacrifice for every firstborn child. And for Jesus, that was two turtle doves or two pigeons. And specifically, he was associating himself at that time. Obviously, maybe wasn't aware of it himself, but he was associating with the poor, because there are a number of different possible sacrifices. But the one that was given for Jesus at his birth, or at his dedication in a sense, was the one for those who were poor, associating with the most poor. And in Malachi, we see that in order for the offering to be acceptable, the offering of the people to be acceptable, the priests and the Levites, they had to be refined themselves first of all, with their own series of sacrifices until their offerings were acceptable and appropriate, so that they could then represent the people to God. Let me just quote Malachi. It said, he will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. And then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord. So we see a series of sacrifices necessary, and also access to the temple. And I'm sure we all know this, there was restrictions, clear restrictions on who could go into which area. So there was the outer courts, the Gentiles was allowed into a certain place, the Jewish people were allowed up to a certain level within the outer courts. Then you have the holy place where the priests could enter, and then only the high priest was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies once a year on the Day of Atonement to give sacrifice for the people. But Jesus then comes into this tradition, and he declares that not only is he the great high priest, as we heard in Hebrews, with direct access to God all the time, he also declares that he is the temple. And he also declares that he is the sacrifice. And so he fulfills the whole of the sacrificial system in one. And so since the cross, and we heard a little bit in that Luke story, we no longer have to fulfill all the legal requirements of that sacrificial system to be made right with God. I mean, if we did, we'd be sacrificing all day and all night, wouldn't we? We'd be continually doing it. But God in his grace fulfilled all of those requirements of the law in one sacrifice. And we no longer need to follow the strict access requirements and guidelines. Because, as we remember, as Jesus died on the cross, that veil that separated the Holy of Holies was torn in two, showing that we had access to God. And to make sure that that sacrifice was perfect, he was the temple. He was the priest. He was the sacrifice. So God left nothing to chance. And so our requirement now is to acknowledge that is what happened. That's what we're called to do now, to acknowledge that Jesus was the temple of God, that the very presence of God on earth, the fullness of the deity, that we acknowledge that Jesus was the great high priest, that he alone is worthy to stand in that place between God and man, to represent God to man and man to God, a place where heaven and earth meet. You remember a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Jacob's ladder. That we acknowledge that Jesus was the perfect sacrifice, a whole life and a whole death committed and set apart for God, unblemished, unstained, without sin, a sacrifice for the whole of humanity. And we need to acknowledge that in Jesus' death, our sins are forgiven once and for all. But we must acknowledge it and we must confess it. Romans 10, verse 9, I think I've said before, my favorite verse in the whole of the Bible is, you know, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. And as we believe in our hearts, we're transformed. We're given access. There's that word again, access to God through his Holy Spirit. We are made holy through that action. We're set apart for him. And those temple restrictions are done away with. And so amazingly, all of us, not just Brian and myself and people who wear these funny little collars, all of us are made priests. We now all represent God on earth. And we all carry the ability to forgive sins in his name. And so the sacrifice of all of us that are priests is now the sacrifice of our lives. But rather than it being a duty, something that we have to do, we're compelled to do it as a result of experiencing God's grace and his love, which endures forever. And we're compelled to follow Jesus for the rest of our lives. And we choose to set ourselves apart for him. But hear that point, that we're compelled. It's not a duty that we have to do, because we're now free of the fear of getting it wrong and the fear that our sacrifice is insufficient, because of course it's insufficient. I am never going to live up to that expectation. But the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus was sufficient. And so instead of fear of getting it wrong and fear that our sacrifice is somehow not enough, we're called to fear, but we're called to fear God. And in a sense, fear missing out on what God has for us and the fullness of his kingdom in our lives. So we're priests. And I want you to hear that this morning. You are a priest. You're set apart for God. It's a wonderful calling. And I just want to unpack a little bit about what our role is as priests. As priests, we're called to represent God to humanity. We're to represent them. And that's why prayer is so important. That's why it's important that we pray for those around us, pray for our family, pray for our world. We're interceding on behalf of them. And part of that is the sacrifice. And that sacrifice of our prayer and our worship is pleasing to God. It's like an aroma of that burnt offering rising up to God. But also our acts are important. Acts of justice. When we consider the poor, when we consider those that have no justice, and we intercede on their behalf and we act on their behalf. And as priests, we also have full access to God. Not only can we enter into the Holy of Holies, and this is a profound thing, we become the temple. And I want you to hear that too. You know, we read in Paul that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So not only can we enter the Holy of Holies, we are the temple, just as Jesus was. That is a profound thing, that the Holy Spirit lives in us. But that access requires us to understand holiness. And I don't want to undermine that line. Holiness is an important thing. We need to appreciate that we are set apart. And so what does that look like? Well, we see in Malachi, we get these two interesting metaphors of a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. And many of you will know that before I was ordained, I was a teacher. And before that, I was a research chemist. And often I had to purify a substance when I was making a new compound. And in order to purify a sample, you would often have to either dissolve it or melt it in order to get rid of the impurities. And often you'd filter them. Sometimes you'd even have to add acid just to sort of dissolve it entirely. And whichever way you looked at it, the substance appeared to be destroyed because it completely disappeared. If it was dissolved or if it melted, it would turn from a solid into a liquid, and often it was a clear liquid, and it looked like it had vanished, and yet it didn't. And once the impurities had been removed and it cooled down and it recrystallized, it was pure. It's quite a dramatic process. And I recently read about a group of women who were doing a Bible study on Malachi 3. And they came across verse 3, which says, "He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver." And one of the women offered to find out about that process, the process of refining silver. And they wrote this: she made an appointment to watch a silversmith at work. And as she watched him, he held a piece of silver over the fire and let it heat up. And he explained that in refining silver, you need to hold the silver in the middle of the fire where the flames were hottest to burn away the impurities. And the woman thought about God holding us in such a spot. And then she thought about the verse again, that he sits as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And she asked the silversmith if it was true that he had to sit in front of the fire the whole time that the silver was being refined. And the man answered that not only did he have to sit for the whole time holding the silver, but he had to keep his eyes on it the entire time it was in the fire. Because if the silver was left even for a moment too long in the flames, it would be destroyed. And so the woman stayed silent for a moment, thinking of how God must watch over us with such love, everlasting love and attention. And then she asked the silversmith, "How do you know when the silver is fully refined?" And he smiled and said the most profound thing. He said, "Oh, that's easy. When I see my image in it." I just want you to receive that too. What a wonderful thought, that God sees his image in us as we're purified And the other metaphor is the fuller soap. Now, you know, I admit that I've read that many times, and I kind of assumed, I think, that it was simply a picture of being cleaned, like we use soap today, being purified, being made white, I guess. But when I looked into this, apparently a fuller wasn't only someone that washed clothes, but there was something more of the process, that the clothes were not just washed, but they were actually made bulkier, more full, more substance. That's what I mean. That's where the word comes from. It's fuller. There's a chemical treatment that goes on through bleaching and wetting and beating, but also they incorporate clay, which was what fuller's earth was, or often the residue of burnt ashes from plants. That's what fuller's soap is. And so in the Bible, we read about fuller's field. A fuller's field will be where you have the materials in order to do this kind of treatment, so that it would either grow the plants for burning, or the clay for the soil, along with running water to do the process. So we have this idea of not just a substance being purified, but actually being made more, being filled. And obviously we take that metaphor further, that as we are purified, we are filled with his presence. We are made more full. We have more substance, and we're made full of his kingdom and his presence. So what does all of this mean for us? Well, just want you to reflect on the idea of being a priest of God, that he is watching over us throughout that process, that it is his everlasting love, as we've heard already this morning. And that we share the responsibility of priests. And so we are to do today what the temple did in the Old Testament. We mustn't ignore that imagery and that history. We are to make sacrifices. We offer our lives. We offer our time, our resources. We offer everything as a burnt offering. And just as a burnt offering would have incense on it in the temple, that aroma would please God. The smell of that incense or that burning meat would please God. And so as we're held in the flames, as we're refined and made more like him, remember that image of God as he looks upon us as we're in those flames, it pleases God. And not only does the process please God, the aroma of our prayer and our worship, it's also our acts. Because what smells good to God is justice, as we have already heard in Malachi. It's justice, sacrifice, love, mercy, and forgiveness. Those are things that smell good to God. And we're going to hear a lot more about that next week in our reflective service. The young people are preparing a few talks and reflections on justice and how we can change and make changes to our behavior in that respect. I mean, I'm really excited about that. But in the meantime, know that we can boldly approach God's throne, as Brian mentioned, as we come in confession as well, but in every aspect of our relationship with God, we can have that confidence that we can approach the throne of grace, and that once we're there, we're lovingly and carefully refined, and we're made holy so that we can minister God's grace to the rest of the world on his behalf. So bless you. Know that you are loved, and know that you are held in the hands of the Almighty, who is so careful and loving in this process. Amen. Let's pray for a moment. Let's just close our eyes and just imagine the Almighty holding us. And, you know, maybe sometimes we've been challenged by the idea of being refined, and maybe we've even avoided it because it's painful, and it is painful when things are removed from us. But maybe look at that sense again, that God is holding us and he's loving us during that process, and that we're being purified through that process, and we are being made more like him. What a wonderful thought. And so, Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being called your priests, Lord, for the privilege of having access to your throne. Lord, we thank you that you've given us your grace. We thank you for the sacrifice that once and for all was sufficient, that you loved us so much that you gave your only son. And so, Lord, give us the boldness to approach, give us the perseverance to stand. And Lord, may we experience afresh your grace this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Mark.
Come on, it's not working. You refine my heart, let me be as gold and precious silver. You refine my heart, let me be as gold. Jesus, the Lamb of God, receive our adoration. receive our adoration. How wonderful you are. We choose to leave you behind, so that our eyes to lose the prize. The word call of God in Christ, you have our hearts.
Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that this is the day that you have made. We rejoice in another beautiful sunrise and the early signs of spring. Lord, we want to lift Liz and her family to you today as they come to terms with the passing of her dad, John. We thank you for his life, and we ask that you would comfort Liz, Ian, Olivia, James, and Liz's brothers today and in the days to come. We pray too for a smooth rolling out of the vaccine programs, for all those that are vulnerable, for those unwell with COVID, and for NHS staff on the front line. May your truth be known and your love be shared in Jesus' name. We pray for those who feel overwhelmed by the additional pressures of homeschooling and for those whose relationships are at breaking points. We pray too for those whose lives are impacted by anxiety and stress. We lift up the health services and charities supporting those people at this time. May your truth be known and your love be shared in Jesus' name. We pray for your church around the world. We pray for our mission partners, the Mandé family. We ask that you would strengthen Rachel as she recovers from malaria. And we ask you, Lord, for healing to her body. May they know your guidance and your provision. We pray for our community. We ask for creative ways to serve and to share, for courage and integrity as we listen and pray, for urgency and daring as we respond to the needs around us. We pray now in a moment of silence for those on our hearts. Lord, hear our prayers as we've known those before you. We thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.
We complete our prayers as we say, as we have today's collect. We say this together. Lord Jesus Christ, light of the nations and glory of Israel, make your home among us and present us pure and holy to your heavenly Father, your God and our God. Amen. Just before the final blessing, just say thank you to everyone for joining us this morning. Thank you to all those who have made it possible to do this. Our tech teams and Dave and Kate and Ali and Mark and all of those who work so hard behind the scenes like Stephanie and others. So thank you so much. And as Mark has reminded us, we are all priests. So let's say this blessing to one another as we conclude our service before we have our last song from Dave, and then we'll hand ourselves over to our techies to help us get into groups and to carry on our chat and our fellowship. So let us as priests at St. John say this blessing together. May God himself, the God of peace, make you perfect and holy, and keep you safe and blameless in spirit, soul, and body, for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen. Let's go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen. Thank you, David.
Oh, nice picture.
I don't think we've got any words for this song, but we will enjoy it and sing along.
Great. Well, thanks for that, Mark. So this is Amazing Grace. Who breaks the power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King of all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder, who leaves his breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above the peace. This is amazing grace, this is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes this orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory, who rules in nations with grace and justice, just like the summit, all of his brilliance, the King of glory, the King of all kings. This is amazing grace, this is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free.
I sing for all that you've done for me. Where is the Lamb? Where is the Lamb who slain? Where is the King who conquered the grave? Where is the Lamb who slain? Where is the King who conquered the grave? Where is the Lamb who slain? Where is the King who conquered the grave? Where is the Lamb who slain? This is amazing grace. This is amazing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
There we go. Hallelujah. Oh, well kept up, Mark. Brilliant typing. Somebody was typing very fast. lovely to see everybody.
Good stuff, guys. I'll just sort out some breakout groups in a second and turn your mics on for now if you want a bit of cacophony in the meantime.
Hi, Hazel.
Hi, Kirsten.
Liz, happy birthday.
Oh, it was lovely. Thank you. I had an amazing week. Thank you
to
everyone. Yeah,
no,
great week. Lovely. Recommend it. Everybody ought to be 60.
Yeah.
Can we all sing happy birthday?
Yeah.
Come on, it's going to sound awful, but let's do it.
Okay.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you so much. That was beautiful.
I've seen Lara's hair.
Right, breakout rooms. Here we come.